Welcome to the Miami Church Podcast. My name is Crystal Guaico, and I will be your host for today. If you want more information about Miami Church or would love to get connected, email us at hello@miamichurch.com. Without further ado, here is the message. Enjoy!
Well, we're beginning a new message series today, and I want to start with a very unsettling thought, and sorry about that, but let's just go there and go. The message series is entitled, The Struggle is Real. We're going to camp out here for the next 5 or 6 weeks, and here's the unsettling thought for me and for you. If we could have a machine that could scan your brain, that could scan your thoughts, that could scan your mind, and put those thoughts and put those things in your mind up on the screen right now in front of this room, how would that be? It would be terrifying. It would be terrifying and unsettling, right? Because I'm beginning this series, The Struggle is Real, with a clear understanding that my mind is a mess and that my thoughts, if they were put on this screen in front of all to see, would be very embarrassing and very shocking, and they would be toxic and unhealthy. And can I just pray over us, because we're entering into some enemy territory here. God, the mind, there's a battle for the mind in our culture, in this room. And God, I just want everyone here to know, no matter where you are, where you've come from, what you've done, there is hope, there is healing, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray your truth would just set into this place, God, that your anointed would fall on us these coming weeks as we go to battle, as we go face to face with what I believe may be the most challenging and destructive thing that we face as individuals and as a culture and a community. And so, God, we love you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Almost every expert out there will admit that there is a mental health crisis in the United States of America, maybe the world. But the stats, and we'll get more into some of the stats in the coming weeks, they're alarming. They're almost overwhelming just to look at the stats. Now, over 90% of people in the United States own some kind of mental health challenge. In fact, a lot of people self-describe themselves or their mental health as either fair or poor. And you can see it, right? You see the symptoms, right? You see the kind of the outgrowth. I mean, you don't have to look at the news very long. The substance abuse numbers are incredible, right? The anxiety and depression numbers are the highest ever in the history of the world. Opioid crisis, gun violence every day, right? Addictions, self-absorption. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Why? Like, how did we get here? How did we get here in April of 2023? How did we get here? And we're going to look, as we go through this week, at some of the reasons. I think there's some societal reasons. Like, how did we get here? I think COVID-19, the pandemic, I think it's going to have longer-term effects on us and people than we think. We live in an age, we live in an era of overabundance of information. You know, it used to be you could be non-accessible. Now you're accessible 24/7. You have access to as much information as you can possibly take in. And honestly, the human mind was not created for that. You can take in all this information, and if you look at the information, the vast majority of the information is negative. You all know about wars. You all know about gun violence. You all know about everything that's going on. And so we're taking in, we're bombarded with all of this information, and it is overwhelming to the human mind. Also, I think there is a theological reason. Right? If we believe, as I do, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you can see that we live in a fallen, broken world. And friends, evil is a thing. And it is real, and it is here. There's also a very personal side of this. Right? We can look at stats all day long, and stats are numbers on a screen, but this gets really personal when we start talking about you and me and someone you love and someone you care about. See, when it's my mental health crisis, it gets very, very personal. But the reality is, every single one of us in this room, right, we are dealing with toxic and unhealthy thoughts. In fact, a silly thing happened just a couple of weeks ago, and this is a silly example, but this, I think, illustrates it. I had coffee with someone I'd never met before. It was a new connection, and I had coffee, and I remember getting in the car after the coffee, right? And what happens? I get in the car and go, did they like me? I mean, did you see their body language? Dude's arms was crossed. He didn't smile, right? What? I don't think he liked me. Did I say something wrong? Right, and what happens? My mind begins to do what? These mental gymnastics, right? And I start replaying all of these things in my head, and I begin having unhealthy thoughts. Why? But then, if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll remember there's a scene when someone comes up to Jesus, and they try to pin Jesus and say, Jesus, we got all the Old Testament, we got all the teachings, we got all the laws. Jesus, if you could just narrow it down into one, could you just like sum it up into one thing? And even if you're not a church person, you know this. Jesus says, you'll see it on the screen, it's in Mark chapter 12. Jesus replies to this idea of summing it up into this thing. He says, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is, listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is one and only Lord. There's only one God. He's the creator of everything. And then verse 30. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus, he says, hey, if you want to follow me, you want to know just like if we could put it into a sentence. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, heart, we use this kind of this idea, like heart is kind of like yourself. Soul is that core part. Mind, which is where we're going to be focusing here. And strength, your body, your physical. He's basically saying your whole self, your whole person. But here in this series, this struggle is real that we're going to be in for the next few weeks. We're going to specifically focus on this idea of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, your thoughts. Does anyone else have an ongoing battle? Don't raise your hand. I should have said that first. Does anyone else have an ongoing battle in your mind? You feel anxious or stressed? Your thoughts kind of bouncing all over the place? Sometimes I feel like my thoughts are, if you go in, anybody ever played racquetball? And you go into the room and there's that really bouncy ball, and if you take that ball and bounce it, right? And one minute you're up, and the next minute you're down. One minute, like, let's go, I can take on the world, and the next minute, like, oh, woe is me. And one minute you are full of faith, yes, God, we can do it, and the next minute you're full of fear. In recent years, there's been an entire discipline of modern psychology that has developed. It's called cognitive behavior psychology. You can look this up, but I'll save you the time. Cognitive behavior psychology reveals that many of the problems that we face, eating disorders, relational challenges, addiction, anxiety, and even some forms of depression, are rooted in what it calls faulty and negative patterns of thinking. These symptoms are rooted in faulty and negative patterns of thinking. And so many of your biggest challenges, many of my biggest challenges, you know where they begin? In your mind, in your thoughts. And they can be a direct result of toxic thinking. And this is just a reality of being a human. This is a reality of being a human being. And it's not new. It's a reality of a human being in this world. In fact, the writer of Proverbs said this thousands of years ago. He says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Is that interesting language? Again, this was written in Hebrew thousands of years ago, but this is the English translation, right? As he thinks, mind, in his heart, self, so is he. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul echoed this thought when he wrote a letter to the church in Philippi. And he wrote a letter, we'll come back to this verse later in the series, but he wrote this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, and he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, by the way, dear brothers and sisters, that means he's talking to the church. So if you're a follower of Jesus, he's talking to you. He says, one final thing, right? That's an important line. Fix your what? Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. What, Paul? Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and what is right and what is pure and what is lovely and what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Fix your thoughts. We'll unpack this in week three, part three. Then look at verse 9. He says this. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then this is the promise. If you do that, if you fix your thoughts, if you practice that, if you do the daily, look at the promise. Then the God of peace will be with you. And you need peace today? Can any of you use peace in your mind? He says, the God of peace will be with you. And here's just the reality, and here's what we're going to try to go after as best as we can as you and I wrestle through this together in the coming weeks. But the reality, the fact of humanity is this, that the life that we have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. The life that you have today is a reflection of the thoughts that you think, and what you think determines who you become. If you think you can't, you won't. If you think you can, you probably will. If you dwell on your problems, they will overwhelm you. But if you look for solutions, you will actually find some. If you feel like a victim, you will become one. If you believe that you can overcome through Jesus and find freedom and healing, you can. Right? The struggle is real. And I want to just share a few kind of foundational thoughts as we wade into this topic that I'm going to put on the screen, and then we'll jump into today's passage. But here's some big ideas that are going to kind of overlay us as we deal with this topic. You'll see it here. Here's the first thought. If you want to truly change your life, you cannot just change your behavior. If you want to truly, I'm talking about inside out, like real transformation. If you want to truly change your life, you can't just change your behavior. Next slide. Even if you change your actions for a while, the original issue will just reestablish yourself. That's why we're in April and none of your New Year's resolutions are still going. Right? Even if you change your actions for a while, the original issue will just reestablish itself. But here's the hope. Next slide. That is why the following Jesus, the way of Jesus, has never been about behavior modification. It's always been about life transformation from the inside out through the power of God. Key. Okay? Everything we talk about, right? Oh, yeah, you can read Psychology Today and this and that. And there's some great tools and resources, and we need to use those. But true transformation only happens through the power of Jesus, through the power of God from the inside out. So the Apostle Paul, he was writing to the church in Rome, and he wrote this text, and this is going to be our anchor text for the next two Sundays. He wrote this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we'll just spend a couple minutes breaking it down. Here's what he wrote. Romans 12, 1. Let me read it. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This truly is the way to worship him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay? My challenge is going to be to all of us in this room today to take this and memorize it this week. But I want to just spend a minute and kind of break it down kind of section by section. What is Paul saying? He's writing to the church in Rome, but what does it mean to us here in Miami in 2023? So let's go to the first part. He says, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, anytime you see that in the English, anytime you see that in the God's Word, you know that he's talking to the church. So if you're a follower of Jesus, he's saying, hey, listen up. I'm trying to help you. Next part. Look what Paul says. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Now, this word plead is, it's a strong word. It's like a beg. It's like, how strong can I yell? Can I shout? Can I dance? What can I do to get your attention? I'm pleading with you, church. I'm pleading with you to give your bodies to God. Now, Why? Like, why do I give my body? Well, he gives you the answer. Because of all that God has done for you. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, friends, listen, I want you to take your life, okay, your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around, you're hanging out. And I want you to place your everyday, ordinary life before God as an offering, your whole self. Now, again, you got to remember, he's talking to a world in which the Jewish world knew about offerings, right? They would take animal sacrifices, right? And they would put the animal on the altar, the entire animal, to sacrifice the animal, right, on their behalf to God. And he's saying, no, it's a new day. We're not taking animals anymore. He says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your life, and I want you to put it before God as an offering, your entire self, because your body, Paul teaches, is the temple of God. And when you become a follower, we saw it yesterday, right, at baptism. Oh, man, right? You saw in that picture when he came up, you could just see it, right? And you could feel it, right? Like your body, right? Once you become a follower of Jesus, the promise is that the presence of God, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, right? And so you don't need to go to a temple or to some church or to some tabernacle. The presence of God, if you're a follower of Jesus, is inside of you. And so the teaching, so what he's saying is, your body is the temple of God. If you're a follower of Jesus, God is in you, and because the Holy Spirit resides in you, you're to take your whole self and surrender it to God. Well, why would I do that, Paul? What about me? No. It's a big demand. And Paul says, let me tell you why. He says, no greater demand can be made than to give your everything to God. Friend, let me just be really clear. If you're a follower of Jesus, the call on your life is to give everything to God. The motivation, therefore, must be equal to demand, and only one exists. And Paul says, you know why? Because he gave everything for you. In fact, you could say it this way. If gratitude to God for his mercies does not compel our devotion to him, then nothing will. Why is Paul saying, give it all? This is a high calling. This is a high commitment. Why do you go all in with God? Because he went all in with you. Back to Romans 12. He says, give yourself, your whole self. He says, let you be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Living and holy. It's this idea of as you go. It's not stop your life. It's like as you go about your life, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you do your life, as you are in marriage, as you're parenting, as you're dating, as you go about your life, right? Like, live your life in a way that's under the authority of God that he finds acceptable, and that is worship. That's more than music. It's more than a sermon. It's not a Sunday. It's just a way of life. Now here, pay attention. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't be shaped by culture, by the behavioral cultural norms. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, he gives you an alternative. He says this, instead of that, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. All right, pause. Whew, that's more for me than you. Okay, here's the big idea, okay? And friends, I want you to sit with this. I want you to read this in different translations and different versions. I need to go to your Spanish Bible. You got to sit in this, right? Because what is he saying? Friends, if you want to follow God, if you want to find freedom, if you want to have hope, if you want to get victory over those toxic and unhealthy thoughts, Paul gives you the formula right here. He says, let God. Who does the changing? Right, it's God. Right? You can modify your, you should, right? Like there's some of your behaviors you need to modify. They're not healthy, right? You need to modify. But true lasting change, that's a Band-Aid. And sometimes you need a Band-Aid. We slap Band-Aids on the kids when it's bleeding. Don't get blood on my sofa, but put a Band-Aid on it, right? Notice I cared about the sofa, not the kid, right? Right, slap a Band-Aid on it. Sometimes you need to slap a Band-Aid on it. Some of you need to do that today. You need to change, modify. But true lasting change that lasts for months and months and years and years and years and decades, true change only happens from the inside out by God. Again, goal is transformation. The way of following Jesus is about life transformation. So he says, let God transforming. So God does the transforming over time, and he says he's going to transform you into a what? A new person. Does that mean you look different? Does that mean y'all get cool haircuts like me? You should, but that's another sermon. No. What's a new person? But Paul tells us, right, when he's writing to the early church, he says that when you become a follower of Jesus, right, that the power of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God comes and resides inside of you. And as the Spirit of God, as the presence of God, begins to take more and more control of you, right? As it goes from 0% to 10% to 20% to 30%, right? As more and more of his control comes in you, he says, then there's fruit or there's obvious signs that God is taking over inside of you. They're listed in Galatians chapter 5. What are they? Some of you know these, right? Love, joy, peace. Don't say that one. Patience, don't pray for that one. Patience, kindness, goodness. Remember the last one? No one wants to talk about the last one. Self-control. And what he's saying as you go on this journey, right, and you become more and more into the way of Jesus and let him transform you again from the inside out, he says your life begins to look different. And friends, I see this in our community. Okay, I'm not going to single out anyone, but I've seen this. I see people come into our community hard and cold and bitter and angry. And what happens over time? They bump into Jesus. And slowly but surely, the pieces start getting peeled away. Not perfect, okay? Don't jump to perfect. That's not where we're going, right? But slowly over time, what they become what? More loving and more kind, right? And more patient. And over time, right? And you see it, right? This is it. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, let God transform you into a new person. But how does he do that? By what? I'm not making it up. Changing the way that you think. You want to be transformed? You want to go on this journey, right? From toxic and unhealthy and angry and bitter and all of these crazy nasty words. You want to go on the journey toward the way of Jesus. He says, God will do it, right? He will do it, but we cooperate with him. How? By letting him change the way that we think. In fact, Paul tells us this, change the way that you think, renew your mind, right? Remove the lies, replace them with truth, rewire your brain, renew your mind, reframe your mind, restore your perspective, revive your soul, reclaim your life. And then here's the promise, the next Romans. He says, you do that, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then here's the promise. Then, as you're on that journey, he says this, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Some of you need to sit in this week. Then, okay, as you're on the journey, he says, as your mind is being transformed, as you're changing your thoughts, as you're renewing the mind, he says, you will begin to learn, you will begin to know, you will begin to understand God's purpose for you. That you have a purpose, a God-given purpose. You will begin to live the life that you were created to live. This is the ultimate pinnacle of humanity on this side of heaven. You're living the life that you were created to live. Well, how do you do that? Now, again, next week, I'm already excited about next week. I'm going to confuse some of my thoughts for next week and then this week, but that's okay. Right, next week we're going to get a little more practical. We're going to dig a little deeper, but I want to kind of just illustrate this a little bit today, okay? So bear with me. Here's what I think, here's where we need to go, okay? Here's where I need to go. Here's where I'm calling us as a church to go over the coming 5 or 6 weeks, right? Because there's a lot here, okay? This is a big deal. Every single one of us in this room, every single person you know that you love deals with toxic, unhealthy thinking, right? There's degrees. But here's where we got to go. And in order to do this, I'm gonna illustrate this, okay? This water. It's not magic water. Okay? Now all of us, right? Okay, every single one of us, if we're honest, we have toxic and unhealthy thinking, right? So we're going to get into this a little bit in the coming weeks, but if there's any trauma in your life, right? Capital T, the trauma opens the door for toxic, unhealthy thinking. Okay, if you have capital T trauma, there's probably more. All of us have at least lowercase T trauma, right? It's part of being a human, right? So what happens is, right, is these toxic thoughts come into our head, to our brain. And some of us may have 3 drops, some of us may have 7 drops. Or 100, okay, there you go, you self-identify. Now what happens? You see them floating in there? Can you see this? Okay. They're floating around. So if this is your mind, this is my mind, right? These thoughts, and they're floating around in there. And so what are we going to do about them, right? We're going to go on a journey together. We're going to challenge me. We're going to challenge you. What are we going to do again? Okay, and some of this is going to be overly simple, but I've got a few words. Here's the first thing I think we have to do. It's this word. You have to decide you want to do it. That sounds kind of obvious, like, well, duh. But guess what? If you decide that you want to go after that stuff floating around in there, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be, you're going to have to be brutally honest. You're going to have to do work. You're going to have to go places maybe you don't want to go. You're going to have to wrestle with Jesus on some stuff. It's going to be hard work. You have to decide, right? You're going to have to decide, maybe you need to decide today, like, I'm going to be here every Sunday. I'm going to be part of a neighborhood team and go after this stuff. I'm going to go deep dive into some of God's word on what God has to say. You've got to decide. Sounds easy, but it's not. Some of you are like, just be done, brother. Let me get out of here, right? No, this is hard work. Decide. Now, the second word I wrote down, and again, this seems a little obvious, but I think it needs to be said. It's this word, invite. What do I mean by this? If you decide that you want to do battle with your mind, if you want to do battle with the toxic, unhealthy thoughts in your mind, the first thing I would say to you, and this maybe sounds overly simple, is you just need to invite Jesus into the process. Right? Let God transform you, right, into a new person. Right? And so you just need to invite. In fact, I wrote a prayer down that says this. Jesus, I want to change my way of thinking. I want to renew my mind. I invite you in. I invite you into places. I invite you into the process. I invite you in today. And maybe some of you just need to pray that. I mean, that's a simple prayer. If you want to do battle with this, so it's even getting worse, you got to invite. Right? So first, you got to decide. You want to do it? I think you do. And then you got to invite Jesus. Jesus, please, I invite you into this. The next word is this. This is where it starts getting messy. Is the word inventory. Okay, this is where you got to do some business. Okay, we're going to give some more tools in the coming weeks on this, but you got to start going like, okay, here it is. What is it? Where does your mind go? Like, what do you think about? Like, if your mind just goes on neutral, where does it go? What are the thoughts? You got to start doing an inventory. Like, what are the things in my mind? And this is where you got to be brutally honest about what are your recurring thoughts. Right? And then we're going to start to get honest about what it is. What are you putting in? What are you putting into your mind? Talk more about that in the coming weeks. You got to do an inventory. And part of this, and this is a very similar idea, but I think it's a little bit deeper. You got to do an inventory, and then the next word is this. You got to do the inventory, and you got to identify. Because all of us have unhealthy, toxic thoughts in our heads. There are lies that you believe. There are things that you believe about yourself. There's things that you believe about others. There's things that you believe about the world. And I can just go ahead and tell you, they are not true. It's not from God. It's not from God. I mean, sometimes people will share something with me, and again, I'm just a human, right? I'm very flawed. I'm no prophet. I'm no whatever title those weird people do, right? But I just want to go, I just can hear it and go, that is not from God. And so we've got to begin identifying what are the things in our minds that we believe. And some of us, they're such old wounds, they've been there for so many years, that it's really hard sometimes to tell the difference between what's true and what's a lie. But we got to identify what are the lies that we believe. Because some of you in this room, you believe like, hey, I'm not good enough. There's some of you that say, well, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not talented enough. Oh, Greg, my past is just too bad. I've done too much. I've hurt too many people. Some of you are like, oh, I can't win the battle with my weight. I'm not going to be good with money. Oh, Greg, I can't get too close to God. He can't really love me that much. Well, all my relationships will break down. I'll never measure up. I've made too many mistakes. It's too late. I can't overcome this. And you believe these lies. And what happens is, over time, is the lies begin to just play in your brain, and they become a rut. Have any of you been to Zoo Miami? Yeah, I know you have, right? We were season pass holders, annual pass holders for years and years and years. And one of the things I noticed, if you ever go to Zoo Miami, it's fantastic. I don't work for them, right? If you go to the camel, there's two camels. I don't know the difference. One's a one-humper, one's a two-humper. That's all I know, right? There's more than that. If you're a zoologist, I apologize, right? But if you go see the camel, the one-humper camel, right, you'll notice that the camel just walks in the same path. Over and over. Like, if you stand there long enough, the dude just makes circles. Just like, and you're like, amazing life. But you know what happens if you look at the camel enclosure? There's a trail. Right? Just same circle. Over and over. Hundreds of times. Every day. And see, that's what happens in your mind and my mind. Right? You believe something when you're younger, or something happens to you, right? And you believe it. And what happens is that thought, right, that unhealthy or toxic thought, it just makes circles in your mind over and over and hundreds of times a day. And what that does is it creates a rut. And it's there, just like that camel has that rut, right? And so we're going to have to do some business. And again, I'm just telling you, it's not going to be fun. It may not be pleasant, but I believe it's worth it. Why? Because there's freedom on the other side. There is hope in Jesus Christ. And then the last word that I'm going to throw up is the word replace. We're going to get into this a little bit more this week. But what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to bring another picture, right? And the reality is we're all pouring something in, right? You're all pouring something in. Some of you are pouring Netflix in. Some of you are pouring TikTok in. Some of you are pouring Instagram in. Some of you are pouring CNN in. Some of you are pouring Fox News. Yeah, right? You're pouring that in, right? But we're all pouring something in. And the reality is whatever's being poured in is what's going to be in there, right? And so we're going to start talking about, like, if this is what our mind is like, if we all have toxic, unhealthy thoughts, right? What is it? How are we going to replace that? How do we change that? I don't want it to be blue. I want it to be clear. So how are we going to do that? We're going to begin talking more and more about some practical ways to do that. But here's where I want us to go today. Here's where I want to land today. This is my challenge for all of us. We're going to start here in Romans chapter 12. And this is something every single one of you in the room can do, even if you're not a follower of Jesus. I encourage you to memorize this. I encourage you to sit in this. I encourage you to read this over and over and over and over again throughout this week. Romans chapter 12. 1 and 2. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This truly is the way to worship. And do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. God, transform me into a new person by changing the way that I think. Then, you will learn to know God's perfect will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want this for you so bad. I want this for me. I want this for our community. See, because I believe with God's help that you can transform your mind. I believe with God's help that no one here is beyond the hope of Jesus Christ. I believe with God's help that you can stop believing the lies that are holding you back. I believe with God's help that you can end the vicious cycles of thought that are destructive to you and to others. I believe with God's help that you can allow God to renew your mind by saturating you with his unchanging truth. See, I believe that you can let his thoughts become your thoughts. And I believe there's victory here. Will you go on this journey with us, please? God, thank you so much for your truth. And God, we live in a broken, fallen world. God, we are broken, fallen people. And God, we live in a society, in a culture, in a world, God, that is bombarded with unhealthy, toxic thinking. But God, that's not how you called us to live. That's not the dream. And so, God, I just want to pray over every single person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest. God, there is victory. There is hope in Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for listening today. We would love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us on our social media channels or send us an email at hello@miamichurch.com. Also, be sure to subscribe because you don't want to miss out on any future conversations. I hope our time together inspired you to take your next step in your faith journey.